Hello, and welcome to the Compliance Week podcast. I'm Aarti Maharaj, Digital Content Editor of Compliance Week. According to Transparency International, in 2014, Spain ranked 37 out of 175 on the Corruption Perceptions Index, which means that the country has a lot of work to do in order to restore public trust and also promote accountability and transparency across its sectors. But on July 1, 2015, Spain became the latest in a string of nations with a corporate compliance defense. To discuss this further is Aaron Murphy, partner and litigation attorney with Foley & Lardner, where his practice focuses on white-collar crime and government investigations. Thank you for joining us, Aaron. And to start, can you tell us a little bit more about Spain's corporate compliance defense?
Sure. You know, there are a couple of things about Spain's new corporate compliance defense that I think are important for every multinational to think about in terms of how it relates to their own program. You know, the first is that the compliance defense that Spain has adopted that doesn't add any sort of newsworthy items in the sense of the requirements, you know, the compliance requirements that it implements, which is actually, you know, a very good fact, and it suggests that we really are beginning to see countries around the world coalesce around a core set of compliance concepts. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of agreement among countries that have adopted more recent legislation as to at least what compliance programs ought to look like. The second, and I think much more interesting and significant fact is that unlike virtually every other country that has taken any steps in this area, Spain has actually embedded the compliance language and the compliance concepts directly into its statute, and that's important for you know, one very significant reason, and it demonstrates a legislative commitment to these requirements that, frankly, other countries, you know, even the U.S. and the U.K. really haven't. So if you think about the U.K. Bribery Act, which, of course, was big news 5 years ago when it was enacted, there was a lot of talk about the adequate procedures defense that's in the statute. But the statute just simply says adequate procedures. It doesn't tell you anything at all about what those procedures need to be like, right? And the U.K. did, you know, what most other countries have done, which is to come out and opine later in a non-binding advisory document that's large and lengthy and amorphous and vague in many ways, talking loosely about what the enforcement body thinks compliance programs ought to look like. And that's not particularly helpful for companies that are trying to design programs. I mean, companies want clarity about, look, tell me exactly what I need to do and I'll go out and do it. And so what Spain has done is made it very clear that, you know, for example, one of the requirements is that you have to do risk assessments. And well, that's a statutory requirement. If you're not doing risk assessments, your program simply doesn't qualify for the defense. And that's kind of the end of the conversation. And so what you see is a much stricter view of compliance come out of legislation like this. And my view is that I think this is a trend that we're going to see a lot more of. I think as other countries begin to adopt similar legislation, and I think we're going to see a wave of this, you know, most countries tend to do whatever has most recently been done by other countries, right? They look and see what the newest, latest things are that countries are doing, and they tend to adopt those. And so I think this may be the first of many statutes like this we see over the next 5 or 10 years.
Great. And why do you think Spain decided to put this compliance defense in place?
Well, you know, I think it has to do with, you know, as I just referenced, you know, what other countries have done, but they've taken it a step further, right? I mean, the UK got a lot of attention and a lot of news out of its adequate procedures defense. But I think, you know, anybody that operates in this space that's kind of scratched their head and struggled with, you know, well, exactly what does that mean, has probably found themselves dissatisfied with the state of things under the UK Bribery Act. You know, the guidance that was issued you know, while it is lofty in its language and it you know, has a lot to say about, you know, compliance theory, it really isn't a helpful guidance document for a compliance officer. So I think, you know, Spain probably looked at that. I think they probably looked at what Brazil did last year in early 2014 in adopting some compliance, you know, type language in its penalties provisions, and said, well, look, why don't we just make it clear? I mean, let's actually just put it in the statute. Interestingly, Russia, of all places, a couple of years ago, while it's certainly not what Spain did, I mean, Russia did actually adopt legislation that had some interesting evidentiary requirements right in the legislation. It's not really a compliance defense in the way that you'd normally think of it, but it did something at least a little bit similar on the same trajectory. I think Spain looked at all of that and said, well, you know, let's just be clear about this. I mean, let's put it in the statute, make it a clear requirement, and then, you know, we won't, you know, get the hue and cry that all of these other countries have gotten from the sort of, you know, compliance establishment, you know, wailing about how unsatisfied they are with the lack of clarity in the statutes.
And on the note of taking it further, if Spain takes this statute further, let's say in 5 years, what changes or updates could they possibly add to this?
Well, you know, I think that if Spain were to make some additional changes or updates to this law in the next few years, I would look for two likely areas of modification. The first being, you know, penalties, and the second being the use of deferred prosecution and non-prosecution type of arrangements. Those really are, I think, the two kind of hot areas where, you know, I just think there's a lot of interesting, you know, debate going on right now about, you know, what's the best way to proceed. If you look at what Brazil did with its penalties provisions in its 2014 legislation, it's actually really fascinating. They adopted a concept that really comes from antitrust law that creates a leniency program that encourages companies to come in and self-report corrupt activities in exchange for, at least in Brazil's case, potentially significant decreases in penalties. The way most antitrust penalty provisions work around the world, and they've been quite effective, is to say, look, the first one in the door to report on illegal activity and to fully cooperate with government gets essentially a get-out-of-jail-free card. And, you know, Brazil didn't go quite that far. And in my view, if a leniency program is going to work, you kind of need two things. You need the full get-out-of-jail-free card, and you really need other countries to adopt similar legislation because they don't work very well if only one country does it. You know, you can imagine somebody coming in and taking advantage of that program in Brazil. Well, that report they just made essentially, you know, could slap a caption on it. It becomes an indictment in another country, right? So you need multiple countries to have these programs. So I would look for Spain to look at that and potentially adopt it. I mean, if your goal is to really stamp out corruption and really harness the power of corporate compliance programs around the world to root out corruption and turn in corrupt officials, there's really no better way to do it. Because my view, I've worked with lots of companies, you know, most companies, they really do want to comply, and they really do want to do a good job at this, and they invest a lot of money and resources in it. But what they want as much as that is they want clarity. They want to know if they're getting something in exchange for all of this investment. And if you said to big multinationals, look, if you come and turn in corrupt officials and cooperate with us in helping to prosecute them, we guarantee that we won't come after you. You know, I think you'd have big companies around the world beating down your door to come and tell you about the terrible things that some of your local officials are doing. So I would look for Spain to look into that and potentially adopt that. Be very, very interesting if we had more than one country doing it. And the second, as I mentioned, is the use of DPAs and NPAs, you know, these essentially contractual agreements with an enforcement agency to, you know, clean up your act, fix your compliance issues, potentially have a monitor look at your business for a couple of years in exchange for not being prosecuted. That really is a U.S. invention. It's been very, very effective in the United States to police corporate activity. The UK is, you know, has essentially adopted DPAs, but hasn't quite figured out the best way to use them just yet. And I would expect Spain and other countries, if they look at additional modifications in coming years, to really take a hard look at whether or not they want to adopt that concept, because it really does give prosecutors a lot of flexibility to strike deals with companies to really get them to be more compliant and to, frankly, cooperate and help the government police corruption in the private sector.
You mentioned earlier, you said that this is a very useful document for compliance officers. So with that in mind, what can compliance officers learn from this guidance, and how is it different from what we have in the U.S.?
Well, I think the main thing that compliance officers can take away from Spain's new statute, you know, isn't so much the conceptual stuff that's embedded in the statute, right? I mean, the concepts that are in there, you know, like establishing clear policies and procedures, doing risk assessments, implementing financial controls, having a whistleblower policy, you know, those kinds of requirements are all the same concepts that the U.S. talks about, that the U.K. talks about. So they're not going to see anything new in there. I think the real thing that compliance officers can take away from this legislation, and frankly take back to their management teams and their boards, particularly at budget time when you're, you know, trying to get money to fund your program, is that, you know, we now have sort of a new reality. I mean, we're at the forefront of, I think, a sea change from these, historically vague, almost kind of aspirational compliance type of messages that you get from the U.S. and the U.K. To hard, concrete statutory requirements. I mean, for example, just to sort of use risk assessments, right? As I mentioned earlier, you know, in the U.S. or U.K., there's a lot of talk about risk assessments, how important they are, and, you know, the SEC and the DOJ and the SFO will all say, well, we expect you to be doing these things. But, you know, if you hadn't done them, but you were doing lots of other things, it's entirely possible that you could get a declination, you know, without kind of a formal risk assessment program embedded in your compliance program. That's not the case in Spain. I mean, Spain has essentially sort of six requirements. One of them is risk assessments, and, you know, if you're not doing them, you simply don't qualify. And I think that is a good message for compliance officers to take back and say, look, here are a number of things that we absolutely must do. You know, if we're doing business in Spain, and of course most multinationals are, you know, we need to have these things in our program, and we need to be spending money and resources on them. We can't just talk about them and aspire to do them. We actually need to get to work and do them. And the nice thing about it is, because it doesn't add any, you know, new kind of bizarre concepts to compliance that are unique to Spain, it makes it very easy for a compliance officer to go back and say, you know, if we're doing them in response to the Spanish legislation, we frankly should just do them globally as part of our compliance program, because the UK and the US and Brazil and other countries that have similar kinds of legislation all want to see the same concepts and the same things, same activities going on.